It's time for JT the Brick.
Raider Nation, unite!
Now it's time to play football.
But now, my gloves are off. I've been waiting for this. Now I'm unleashed. The leash has been off, and it's Raider football a year from now. Next year at this time. Can you imagine?
Raider Nation, what's up?
Here's Jacobs behind. Over the top, jumps up for the touchdown!
We are not Raider ready, and I'm the Raider guy here. So we got to get everybody ready for the Raiders every day, especially when it's the season.
JT the Brick.
We're not going to waste your time. I'm not a comedian on the radio. I'm just talking sports.
Pillaging just for fun.
This is how much work we have to do. This is how excited we have to be. To act like an NFL town, we're trying to get ahead of the Raider vibe as the Raiders are coming.
I ain't messing around. That's it.
I'm okay saying that, right?
Hey, great to hear your voice again, JT.
And now, here's JT the Brick.
Out of the gate, JT with you. Thrilled to have you today. What a day. What a night. What a week we got coming up. Raider Nation Unite, the show that people come to for fast-paced, interactive sports talk brought to you by Golden Entertainment, the MPT, Sierra Gold, Sean Patrick's, the SG Bar, the Strat, Arizona Charlie's, and more. PT's Ranch, everything they do, they're a proud partner of the Vegas Golden Knights, and Bobby reminds me, we go an extra half hour tonight leading you into Vegas Golden Knights hockey. Also, the college football playoff poll will be released coming up, so we'll have that, which is exciting. Raider news as they are traveling to New York to take on the Jets. And I'm really excited to talk about what's big now of the playoffs and how the Raiders are setting up for a playoff push. They're not in. By no way are they in at all. They got unbelievable work in front of them. But I'll tell you this much, they're in the hunt. And that is perfect. That is perfect for everybody listening here, because we got to find a way. We have got to find a way to be Raiders all the time and unbelievably act like a playoff town. You saw it with the Vegas Golden Knights. They went to the Stanley Cup final in their first year. What happens if the Raiders make the playoffs this year before they get to Vegas? Who had that? Who even dreamed of that? And this could happen. It could happen if they just take care of business. But they got to do it at the Jets. And the Jets were a laughing stock a month ago. They were a laughing stock. They were a joke. They were worse than the Dolphins. They were going to be the team with the number one pick, other than the Bengals, because the Bengals are just terrible. But I thought the Jets were in the ballpark. No longer. The Jets can put up 30 now blindfolded. And the Raider defense is getting better, but they're not great. And I think Sam Darnold's at home, and they got nothing to lose, and they're going to attack the Raiders. And they also have a history with the Raiders. Go back to the Heidi game. Go back to the history of both franchises and the AFL, to the AFC, to the Super Bowl, to Joe Namath, to all the great games that have been played in the past. This is a big one. Because both of these teams aren't iconic. This isn't the 70s Raiders versus the 70s Jets. But what it means is this will be playoff positioning, because the Jets are really looking for draft picks, and the Raiders got draft picks. They got the Khalil Mack draft pick next year. They got their own draft pick next year, and they're going to be rocking in the draft, and the draft is in Vegas. Win this game. They've won three in a row against inferior teams that they were supposed to beat. I'm not throwing a party because they beat Detroit. I'm not running around flexing Raider muscles because they beat Cincinnati. I'm not saying that this is blow-away great. They beat the Chargers. You saw Rivers, I'll get to that, and his four interceptions last night. So there's been some wins for the Raiders that they deserve to have, because their schedule was absolutely brutal. Brutal to start the year. Now they get the Jets, and I know the Jets are playing better, but they have to win this game. If the Raiders, as I told a friend today who's visiting in town, if the Raiders beat the Jets, they're in the playoffs, in my opinion. They're in. If the Raiders lose to the Jets, they're probably not going to make the playoffs. Does that make sense to everybody here? Do we get that? If they beat the Jets, they're 7-4. I think they could win in their final six games. That would be five games left. I think they can win 3 out of 5 and get to 10. With two of them at home against Tennessee and Jacksonville. Also playing the Chargers. Also playing Denver. And the Chargers and Denver are out of it. So the Raiders have everything set up, but it starts with a win against the Jets. And I think the Jets are better. Last night was a big story on a lot of fronts, because the Chargers lost through four interceptions in the game in a must-win game. And now I believe they're eliminated. what to do with Phillip Rivers going forward. Russell Baxter, one of the premier NFL insiders anywhere, at Bax Football Guru. Russell, good to talk to you today. What are your sources telling you now about the Chargers going forward with their problems in L.A., moving into the Rams Stadium, and a decision they're going to have to make with Phillip Rivers going forward?
Well, first things first, they haven't been mathematically eliminated, but they've dug themselves, JT, an 0-3 hole in the division. Okay, so that's something you definitely got to look at. The last two games, Phillip Rivers has thrown 7 picks. It's really odd. I mean, this was a team that got off to a bad start a couple of years ago, finished strong last year, 12-4, won a playoff game. And, you know, sometimes you just see a player, for lack of a better word, JT, get old really quickly. And Phillip Rivers just doesn't look like the same player he had even a year ago. And I'm not sure where they're headed direction-wise. I'll be really curious if they activate Derwin James, which has really hurt that team this year. But they found ways to lose games this year. The Lions game early in the season, the Texans game early in the season, you know, a crazy backwards pass that Devin Bush picked up. All the things they kind of did right last year, they kind of done wrong this year. So I don't know where the franchise is headed, what direction they're going, but it's been a highly disappointing year. You know, the Melvin Gordon holdout set a bad tone, I think, as well. And again, Derwin James going down, which he can't help with injuries. But even the game plan last night, I mean, this was a team that horribly outgained the Chiefs in the first half, and somehow they were losing, and somehow they decided to abandon the run as well.
Russell Baxter joins us. What fascinates me, and it doesn't have to fascinate everybody else, is that the Chargers have to make a decision on Rivers' future. And if he's playing this poorly, that would fast forward a move for Cam Newton or Teddy Bridgewater or going out there and making a move in the draft or free agency, but they have a ticket problem in Los Angeles, going to be playing in the Rams Stadium. I think it's a deal breaker. Russell, in my mind, you open up that new stadium, they're the B team, the JV team to the Rams. You got to go in with Rivers. He's been one of the great players in franchise history. At least give him a year in the brand new stadium. I don't know if they can do that now because of his poor play.
Well, I think a lot is going to ride on how he finishes the season. Obviously, they're off this coming week, so he gets 2 weeks to rest and maybe reevaluate things. And right now, they're probably relegated to spoiler at best when it comes to the playoffs. You know, again, all the divisional losses, and two of them at home, by the way. I know Mexico City is not their home, but technically it was a home game. That means they still got to play the Chiefs at Arrowhead. They still got to play the Broncos in Denver. A horribly disappointing year for them. And you bring up a good point. Do you go into a new year in a new stadium with a rookie quarterback or a quarterback who is not the face of the franchise? I mean, other than Dan Fouts and maybe John Hadle, who do you think about when you think about the Chargers and quarterback? So, it's they've got some work to do both on and off the field.
Russell Baxter, the football guru, a great NFL insider. We're fortunate to have him. What's going on with Atlanta? They're now a 4-point favorite against Tampa Bay when Dan Quinn's job has been on the line. I think it still is. Atlanta's looking like a playoff team, even though I don't think they'll get there. How have they turned it around so quickly?
It is wild. You know, one of the things I always look at when people start talking about a team, you know, running out of time or out of the playoffs or anything like that, JT, I look at schedule, not strength of schedule, but opportunity. And what was really bizarre about the Falcons' schedule this year was they got off to that 1-7 start. How many games did they play in the division in those first 8 games? None. And right now they're in the middle of playing 5 divisional games in a row, which, you know, I've seen scheduling like that with the Seahawks a couple of years ago and so on. Well, they go to New Orleans and win. They go to Carolina and win. This was a team that gave up a ton of offensive touchdowns, no touchdowns the last 2 weeks. This was a team that had 7 sacks in its first 8 games. They have 11 the last 2 weeks. This was a team that they won 7 straight games without an interception. They had 4 on Sunday. So, and, you know, from all accounts, Dan Quinn, who didn't hire a defensive coordinator, he was going to handle the deal. It seems like he's distributed a little work in terms of the play calling, on the defensive side. Maybe that's rejuvenated the team. And now they have another division game this week. I agree with you. I mean, they've done them in the NFC. If they were in the AFC, they might still have a fighting chance, okay? But in the NFC, it's highly conceivable we see maybe two, dare I say even three teams with winning records not make the playoffs this year. The NFC is so loaded.
It is. Russell Baxter's our guest. Russell, I've been telling you all year I really like the Vikings, not because of Kirk Cousins and Cook, who are good players in this league, and when healthy with Thielen and Diggs, they can put up points. But I like their defense. I like their front seven. I like how they can get after it, fundamental tacklers. That defense can win in the dome or on the road. That comeback down 20 to Denver was impressive. It keeps them right back in the playoff hunt as they're chasing the Green Bay Packers.
And yet it's been Kirk Cousins and Dalvin Cook and the offense that has really bailed them out as of late. I agree with you. Their defense is very talented. But as weird as this sounds, it almost, you know, last year they got off to a really bad start and played better in the later in the year. Not enough. By the way, the Vikings already matched their win total from a year ago, 8-3. They were 8-7-1. But lately, 28-24, down 20 to nothing. Giving up, and even on Sunday, JT, the Broncos came down the field and were able to convert on third and fourth down a couple of times. So right now it has been Kirk Cousins and it has been Dalvin Cook and it's been Stephon Diggs and Rudolph and the tight end. There's been no Adam Thielen as of late. They go into the bye week. They're hoping to come back a little healthy. And one advantage they do have, I will say, even though they're 1-2 in the division, you know, if Green Bay loses, you know, them and Green Bay will both have 8-3 records. The Vikings still have three division games left. They play Green Bay at home. They play Detroit at home. They play Chicago at home. So, and they got a tough one when they get back. They go to Seattle. But, yeah, I wouldn't sleep on the Vikings. And Kirk Cousins, I know he had a fumble the other day, but he's really done a good job cutting back on the turnovers. And this happens. You have good defensive teams, unless you're having the kind of year New England's having. We saw what happened to them in Baltimore a couple of weeks ago. You know, you're going to have some rough times. People adjust. And right now, you got to give credit to where credit's due. You know, they went into Dallas and moved the ball against the Cowboy defense. It was supposed to be a pretty good front itself.
San Francisco, if they beat Green Bay, because Green Bay did not show up in Carson against the Chargers. They got hammered. They had nothing. The whole organization's got to have their head screwed on for San Francisco playing that game in Santa Clara. The Niners are a 3.5-point favorite. It's tough to pick against the Niners. Jimmy G's playing well. They're running it. The defense is ferocious. Doesn't it feel like a playoff game? And if Green Bay can't win this one against Jimmy Garoppolo with Aaron Rodgers, how are we supposed to believe Green Bay can go on the road or win playoff games and get to the Super Bowl?
Well, it's funny. I think these teams kind of emulate each other to a degree because Green Bay's defense is all about getting to the quarterback and creating turnovers. Okay? Against the run, 25th. I mean, how many times have we seen, even in games Green Bay won, Dalvin Cook got them. I think McCaffrey got them. Josh Jacobs got them. Okay? They are better on defense in terms of sacks and takeaways. They're not on better on defense against the run. And it's funny, the Niners, as good as they are, JT, second on total defense, first against the pass, you know what they are against the run? 20th. So sometimes there's a pretty logical theory in 100 years of football. Okay, it's hard to get a sack when the running back has the ball.
Russell Baxter, as we wrap it up, the Raiders can't overlook the Jets as a trap game before Kansas City because the Raiders had four wins last year, and the Bengals played them to a touchdown. Do you believe Gruden has them ready? Do they match up well against the Jets now that the Jets are finding themselves on offense and Darnold's putting up points?
Well, Darnold's been able to, you know, stay in the lineup for a couple of weeks. I'll ask you a question real quick. What do you think is the bigger surprise? That the Raiders have six wins or that the Raiders are involved in a trap game?
Yeah, that's a great point. I think I'm not surprised the Raiders have six wins because I knew there'd be a portion of the schedule like they just went through, that where they could win three in a row, three out of four, four in a row after that brutal schedule. But I just think the Jets, I like the way, Russell, the Jets have calmed down the noise. Adam Gase looked to be getting fired. The owner came down and said, no, not only are we not firing him, he'll be back next year. And it seems like everybody's getting healthy, and they're showing at least their ability to play defense and to score points in bunches. I think the Raiders are going to have their hands full.
Oh, I agree. Listen, Sam Darnold is out in week two. Trevor Siemian comes in. He doesn't make it through week two, okay? So you're talking about three quarterbacks in two games, okay? Darnold finally gets healthy. It takes a little, you know, it takes time. It just takes time to get your rhythm and so on. And the last couple of weeks, they have played better. I think everybody, you know, when they lost that Miami game, give credit where credit's due for a team that everybody talked about, Miami, you know, quote-unquote tanking their shit. They've actually played pretty hard the last 4 or 5 weeks. Once they've, Brian Flores is trying to change that culture as well. So, no, this is a, listen, I'm just hoping the Heidi doesn't interrupt the game.
Absolutely, the Heidi game. Thank you, Russell. Always a pleasure talking with you, sir.
You got it.
Russell Baxter, the football guru. Yeah, that game for the Raiders is not a trap game because the Raiders can't afford trap games. Trap games are really good teams that are going to play a great team in 2 weeks. There's no trap games for the Raiders. Raiders know in that building, every day they show up this week, that they got to beat the Jets. They're not overlooking the Jets to get ready to Kansas City. But the Kansas City game could be very interesting. Because if the Jets win, I think the Raiders put pressure on Kansas City. I don't think, personally, Kansas City is concerned about the Raiders at all. They'll play them in a parking lot. They'll play them anywhere, and they'll beat them, they think. Because they got better players. They do. They've had much better players than the Raiders. And they beat them in Oakland. They'll beat them in Kansas City in their mind. But if they lose another game or two and the Raiders just stop and look at their schedule and take care of business, the Raiders could even lose to Kansas City and still run out and beat Tennessee, Jacksonville, the Chargers, and Denver. And Kansas City can get tripped up in some of their late games. Big game coming up. Really big one. If you're in an accident, SamAndAsh.com. Why? Because you need a fair settlement. And do you hire an accident lawyer? You go with people that are experienced, and from their ability to make people money and save their money and help them, especially in L.A., opening up here now, they're the best. And they're not loud screamers. Man, I'm driving down. I had an event today. I drove down. I saw 7 attorney billboards. One guy's on a motorcycle. Another guy's having a sledgehammer. Another guy looks like he's going to just sit there and intimidate you. Sam and Ash. SamandAsh.com. Because they will answer the questions about your specific circumstances. You don't always need to hire an attorney. But when you do, they'll take out all the guesswork and they'll help you moving forward. And they communicate. SamandAsh.com. They'll return your calls. They'll be there for you. So the next time you get in an accident anywhere, surface street, on the highways here, just call Sam and Ash. Go to SamandAsh.com because they're what's right. 24/7 consultation at 800-304-2000. SamandAsh.com. Golden Knights hockey on deck on the flagship.
I don't think it wasn't happening before that. I think we were making some mistakes that, you know, and let's face it, I mean, Fleury made 3 unbelievable saves in that game. So we could say a 6-0 blowout. It wasn't a 6-0 blowout. It could have been a lot closer game than that. And saying that, I still love the way we played. So we did the right things for the last 3 or 4 games, in my opinion. We finally got a W for it, and we finally got the killer instinct in the third period to put them away.
Turn it up. The Doobie Brothers are getting back with Michael McDonald on their anniversary tour. I don't like seeing the Doobie Brothers without this guy.
He came from somewhere back in how long ago. The sound of every fool don't see, trying hard to recreate.
How good is this?
To be created.
Oh, finally, they put the band back together. Why don't you put all bands back together and stop fighting? Now the Doobie Brothers go out on tour with Michael McDonald. I'm in. Great, great news. Great news the last couple of days. JT with you. We're talking Vegas, Golden Knights, hockey. And they've won a game. They got a little bit of momentum there. Can they build on it? And that's been the talk of this season. They haven't been able to build on anything. They haven't been able to take advantage of easy games, building successive wins. If you look at what they've done, 3-4-3 in their last 10. So they got a win there, and they're going up against teams in that Pacific. The Sharks, 6 in a row. You look at Arizona, 2 in a row. Edmonton, 5-3-2 in their last 10. So these are games now that become very important because of the way they haven't dug a hole. I still think they're fine. Vegas is sitting with 23 points. They're 6 behind Edmonton. But you let Edmonton get ahead by 9, 12, 13 points, and then it becomes a problem. So the Maple Leafs tonight, extended pregame show coming up until 6:30, and we'll get into what this team needs to do. If you want to talk about the Vegas Golden Knights anytime tonight heading into the game, 876-1340 is the number. He is the television host of the Vegas Golden Knights broadcast. Darren Millard is kind enough to join us. And Darren, good to talk to you again. We're hoping a little momentum coming off the last win with Toronto in town.
Let's see if it spills over. You know, there was a game a couple of weeks ago against Anaheim where everything clicked again, and I thought that was it, and it didn't happen. But they, over the course of their history, they've been really good at these bounce back games and being able to extend it into a longer run and be able to make some hay on it. I get the feeling not just because of what happened against Calgary, but the game against Chicago I thought was a real turning point for the group. I know they let in some odd man rushes and some goals against in that game, but I thought that was a real turning point with the confidence offensively, and the game against Los Angeles carried that through with a little bit more of a blend, and then all gelled on Sunday. So I think everything is pointing in the right direction right now.
This is a big spot for the Maple Leafs, no doubt about it. They're 3-6 on the road. They've lost 5 in a row. They have the attention of the Vegas Golden Knights, and they need a big performance tonight. I'm assuming they have their fans here tonight. They have their A game, and they're ready. This is a big spot for them playing in Vegas once a year.
Buddy, they haven't won since they beat Vegas in that come-from-behind win a week and a half ago in Toronto. They've won a game since. They got 1 point. Since then, it's been a real disappointing run for them. They lost Mitch Marner, who I think is their best player, with all due respect to John Tavares and Austin Matthews. Marner does so many things for them, so that's been a real kick in the teeth for them. And there's some heat from the Toronto media and the Toronto fan base right now on head coach Mike Babcock, which I think is ridiculous with all the turnover that they had on that roster year to year. And the injuries beyond Marner that they've occurred. But a lot of people that I've spoken to are thinking if it doesn't go right on this road trip, that there could be a change made. It's no secret that there's a division between management and the head coach on different philosophies. And the manager appears to have his coach in waiting at the American Hockey League in Sheldon Keefe. So there's a lot of things up in the air right now, but you could be... If Vegas goes out and wins this game, and especially if they win it convincingly, it could be certainly a knock against Mike Babcock and his future with the Toronto Maple Leafs, considering he was supposed to be the guy that came in and led them to the Stanley Cup. And I think he's a great coach. I think he's a great coach, and I think it's vastly unfair, but that's the sentiment you're getting around the Toronto Maple Leafs right now.
Darren Millard is our guest, the television host of the Vegas Golden Knight broadcast. You knew Fleury before you took this gig. You know the three cups. He's a Hall of Famer. What have you noticed since you've been in your new capacity with your new position, seeing the type of saves he made, especially in the last win?
Well, I don't think it's anything new other than he has played better than anybody at his age should, and certainly better than people around the team want him to be playing or need him to be playing, because you don't want to be leaning on your goaltender that much. His play in the month of October, I would put up against any stretch that he's produced during the course of his career. He was that good. And then the game against the Calgary Flames on Sunday, they scored 6 goals. They scored 6 goals in that game, and our play of the night was that save off Mark Giordano in the third period of a 2-0 game, which after the puck the play was whistled, everybody on the ice on the Vegas side went back and gave him high fives. And you don't see that every game, but he's that instrumental and that much of an influence on their day-to-day game. Like, that wasn't a 6-0 game. I'm not going to try and pretend that that was the biggest rout. And I would counter it with also that it could have been what we've seen in previous games had Marc-Andre not been that good with the timely saves. And his intensity is also one. He likes that fun. He has a great time. He's got the smile on his face. But I've liked seeing the real snarl in his game at times, both with the Matthew Tkachuk play and the night that he got taken out of the game here at T-Mobile. I like the emotion and the fire in him and seeing that side of him. So that would probably be the biggest difference from seeing him from afar.
Wrapping up with Darren Millard, who joins us before the Vegas Golden Knights host the Toronto Maple Leafs here on the flagship. Great to see William Karlsson heating up and now on fire. He just seems to be in the zone now. What is Gallant doing to make sure everybody understands feed him while he's hot?
Well, I think the line change, there's some sparks between him and Max Pacioretty, chemistry sparks, good sparks. And I think that's been a real good. You know, this is the longest stretch in Gerard Gallant's tenure with the Vegas Golden Knights that he's gone against his traditional lines. And it looks like this new look is going to be the new normal. And I really like what Karlsson's done. He's a better player than when you see him live than he is on television. And then I mean that as a real compliment. His 200-foot game is off the charts, and we talk about Mark Stone being a great defensive forward, and he is. His biggest challenge for a Selke nomination might be coming from his own lineup in William Karlsson. His ability to finish is off the charts, off the post. I got to get in there and hang out with you, by the way.
Yeah, the studio's open. We try to get you up here and get you in here more often. One question I'm going to ask you every time we have on, because as you study the crowd and you get to know T-Mobile, if this was a Friday, Saturday night game, I think you'd see a lot more Maple Leaf fans. It's not easy to get to, but it's Vegas. These are hockey fans. They travel well. What can you tell us about these Maple Leaf fans, some of the greatest in the history of this sport, one of the most successful franchises in hockey history, but, man, the drought that they've been on and how long they've been waiting to drink from the cup, these fans are hungry.
Oh, long-suffering and at times insufferable because of their passion, their ability to make a mountain out of a molehill. I was just back home to visit my family last week and witnessed it firsthand, and I was joking with somebody. I'm like, the best part about working in Vegas is I learned that there was 30 other teams in the National Hockey League instead of just one. They travel well. There's Maple Leaf fans all across North America because of the original six status. But, boy, when you look at the accomplishments of Vegas in the first 2 years and 2 months compared to where the Toronto Maple Leafs are right now, and even with Vegas and their challenges this year, they're still ahead of the game and much more of a calmer existence than Toronto. It's I don't know whether you want to compare it to a Jets fan base in the National Football League, but that's sort of where I go with. Jeez, or a Minnesota Vikings, can anything ever just go right and be easy? It's not that way with Toronto.
Nice comparison. You know, ball, football, comparing it to hockey. I like that, Darren. Good job. Have a great broadcast. Thanks for doing this.
You bet. Anytime. Love being on.
Thank you, Darren Millard. He is with AT&T. I put it on 684, Bobby. I have DirecTV. I pay for too much cable. I told my wife to cut the cord. She said, why? I said, because I believe we're paying too much. And she goes, yeah, and then I try to do it, and then you freak out. You don't want to lose HBO? I go, no. Do you want to lose your baseball, you Yankees? I go, don't touch my Yankees. Don't touch my Yankees. She goes, okay, do you want to lose the NFL package on Sundays? I go, how much does that cost? She goes, you don't want to know. Your head will pop if you want to know. And now Netflix. And then we had the discussion. I wanted to throw this out. We have Andrew Siciliano coming up next. He anchors DirecTV's Red Zone. Anybody buy the Disney Plus yet? My son, you did, Bobby? My son, who's 16. I went through this cord-cutting thing with him the other night. I go, look, you know, we can afford it, but there's got to be a limit. I grew up with a family that did well, but we had a budget. And I go, I'm not getting it. I got Netflix. We got Hulu. I got the baseball package. I got NFL. It's out of control. And he said, I'll just pay for it. I go, what'd you say? He goes, yeah, I'll take it out of my money that I have. He's got money here, kid, we'll work a little bit. I go, wait a second, you're willing to pay your mom and dad for the Disney Plus? He said, yeah, ESPN Plus. You get all the ESPN, you get the fights, dad, you love boxing and all this. He was selling me so hard, and he's not a Star Wars kid with The Mandalorian, which he has to have it, but our cable bills plus our add-ons, Bobby, it's getting out of control.
I cut the cord 3 years ago. Let me tell you something. I got Disney Plus. Not like I'm a huge Disney guy.
Right.
But the deal is, I mean, not to do a spot here, but for $12, I was paying $12 for Hulu by itself.
Mm-hmm.
I cut that thing off. I now have Disney Plus, Hulu, and ESPN Plus for $12.
You got HBO?
No.
See, I have to have HBO. Well, I have to have it for Game of Thrones, and now the show's over. But I have to, you know, I got to make a decision.
You get all that stuff on YouTube.
I'm just going to keep it anyway. I got
Bill Maher. I got John Oliver. All that stuff's on YouTube. Watch it every week.
Oh, you get that on YouTube. You're a YouTube guy.
YouTube, Hulu, Amazon Prime. I'm honestly spending like $50 a month on apps, and I've got like six different ones on.
Let's
the TV.
Do a show on this next week. We'll open up the phones. By the way, the phones are always open here at 876-1340. I heard a show today said they'll open up the phones later. I'm like, what? What do you mean? Oh, what do you lock them? Phones are always open. We're talking Golden Knights. I got a game tonight. Sound off 876-1340. But we'll do a show on how to put together the perfect cable package. What do you cut? What do you keep? What's the exact dollar figure? Because I think a lot of people think they know their cable bill, but it is brutal when you take a look at it. That's why my wife's great. She hides all the bills. I have no idea what anything costs, especially the air conditioning. Don't come to me with the AC in June, July, and August. I don't want to see it. We are brought to you by the Henderson Hyundai Superstore. They will sponsor our last half hour, too, coming up. Super deals that you're looking for, Boulder Highway and Henderson. Wow, what a company. What a finance department. Any vehicle you want. Luxury vehicles and the award-winning Hyundais. Talk to Andrew Siciliano, my longtime friend from NFL Network and the Red Zone. He's on deck.
Phillips just has to execute better as far as turnovers. Now, you can look at his turnovers, and it's not always on the quarterback. I mean, sometimes the quarterback is getting hit late. Sometimes a receiver may slip down, you know, so you can't put all those turnovers on Phillips, but his turnovers are a little higher than I would like, and he knows that. We have to get better in that area, period.
Oh, wow, Anthony Lynn, that's the coach of the Chargers, blasting his quarterback. No other way to spin it. Because everybody knows their jobs are on the line and the quarterback can't get it done. JT, brought to you by Joe Cordone, my guy. If you need a loan, he's the guy in town. I'm telling you, my trusted lender, Vegas for over 18 years, the best rates on any new loan. But if you want to refi and pay off debt, pay off your credit cards, pay off your truck, your car, do it. Joe will look at your loan and I bet you he gets a lower rate. And if he can't, part is friends. He's my friend, Joe Cordone, 702-271-6261. Again, Joe Cordone, guaranteed rates. Look at your rates, 271-6261. Probably the biggest bill that you're paying. Joe could tell you if you're paying it and if it's too high. Andrew Siciliano, great that he could check in. The longtime host of Red Zone on DirecTV, the NFL Network host, my former colleague in a former life. Great to talk to you again, Andrew. Thanks for coming on. Give us your reaction to Monday Night Football last night, the Chargers and Phillip Rivers.
A couple of things. Full disclosure, JT, I kind of watched it back on tape. I was emceeing something with the Rams last night, so I didn't watch it in real time. However, I think my biggest takeaway is the Chiefs won. They should have won. They're the better team. I don't know that I came away, although they did have the four picks, and you know they certainly frustrated Phillip Rivers and turned him over late when they needed to. I don't know that I walked away feeling that much more comfortable and confident that the Chiefs are a team that's, you know, going to win a Super Bowl like we thought we did 2 months ago. It was certainly a step in the right direction. And I think, more importantly, they hold off the Raiders for another week. So that's big. I think the flip side of that is, you know, the end is getting closer and closer for Phillip Rivers. He's in the final year of his contract. Both sides were happy to play it out. He has to decide whether or not he wants to keep going. And the Chargers will have to decide whether or not they need to go find a new quarterback for their new stadium. I think they had felt, especially after 12-4 last year,
that Rivers was going to be good enough, the team was going to be good enough, that they would go into the new stadium in L.A. next year riding high, and that does not look like that right now.
That's why I'm fascinated with this topic. For you and I, and you live in L.A., and I lived there for a decade, and knowing the whole schematics and the location and the Chargers and what they're doing coming out of Carson, to me it was a done deal. I mean, you need Rivers to move whatever fan base you have into the new building and hopefully playing well, because they were a 12-4 team last year. Do you see any comparison to Eli and the way that they're closing out Eli healthy with the Giants organization, who won't play for them again, and what could eventually happen to Rivers with the Chargers?
You know, Steve Weiss brought that up on my show today on NFL Network. I don't know. I mean, look, here's why I would say no, I don't see the comparison, because they don't have Daniel Jones sitting on the bench
right
behind Phillip Rivers. They drafted Easton Stick, who's an intriguing prospect, but they're not ready to rip the Band-Aid off and give it to him. He doesn't even dress most games. Tyrod Taylor is the backup, and they went out thinking that they have a championship-caliber team and paid Tyrod Taylor really good backup money to be that guy if Phillip were to get hurt this year. So they have kicked the tires on all the young quarterbacks the last couple of years that went in the first round or even high in the second, at least thinking of the future, but they haven't pulled the trigger to actually go get that guy. So if it isn't Phillip, and who knows, they could win a couple of games. They have done this down the stretch plenty of times over the last couple of years. They could win a couple of games and they can convince themselves, and rightfully so, that Rivers has another good year in him. But if they don't, they got to figure out what to do.
You know, we had NFL insider Greg Bedard on last night, and he had a fascinating point about Tom Brady. I think he even thinks that Brady's going to end his career in New England, but he's not happy completely. And what a landing spot it could be for him for the Chargers if he brought along Josh McDaniel, the defense with Ingram and Bosa and James healthy, and what they have already. And it would get him to L.A., where he has the big house and mansion, as you know, in the Palisades. It's kind of a conspiracy theory, but it makes a tiny bit of sense for Brady to wrap it up on the West Coast.
Look, it makes all the sense in the world for the quote-unquote Hollywood ending. It is one of those ones, though, that I'm not going to believe it until I see it, and then I'll probably rub my eyes and say I still don't believe it. I mean, the Chargers would have to write a pretty darn sizable check, and Brady would want to. I mean, I get, if you do that, you kind of have to face the possibility that you go somewhere out of your comfort zone without your coach and your offensive coordinator, with whom you've worked so well for so many years, and that you are willing to risk failure. And I don't mean like 3-13 failure, but 7-9 mediocrity, that if this supporting cast gives you that, you're willing to go out that way. I don't know if Brady is willing to go out that way, because we just assume he would go there and they would win. But what if they don't? The Chargers have been snake bitten of late with the injuries. I mean, no one's healthy, and they're never healthy. Are you willing to throw yourself into that and say, what if it doesn't go right?
One more thing, Andrew Siciliano's our guest on the Chargers. Teddy Bridgewater, Cam Newton, the opportunity for a free agent or a tradable player to go out there. It's the same thing with the Bears, right? The Bears are in a similar situation with the quarterback position, with what we thought was a Super Bowl-ready defense.
Yeah, it's tougher, I think, there. Or maybe it's equally tough, but just different set of scenarios here. In that, Trubisky's only in his third year. And if you give up on him now, which, I mean, there's enough to say we're done, we've seen enough, you're giving up on a guy for whom you traded a lot to move up in the draft, who's only in his third year, who's still young, and you're admitting that you kind of failed. You failed in that regard. You saw enough positive last year with Trubisky where you think he's ready to make the step. It just hasn't happened. But if you go get Teddy Bridgewater or another veteran and you put him in front of Trubisky and you keep Trubisky there on his affordable first deal, can you ever go back to him? Can he ever recover? Can the organization recover from benching that guy and then saying a year later, okay, let's try it again?
Andrew, I think that's a great point. I agree with you, because John Lynch and the trade, and with Chicago going up to number two, and his great athletic ability and his big arm and what he can do, I think it's too early to punt on him. Everything you're saying is right, but you're right. You get in his head if you bench him, you go in a different direction, and then you give him an opportunity to just move on. It's a compelling conversation. The Rams, who you're associated to with the preseason and the work that you do with them, they gave Goff the money. And I think it was a good decision. Goff throws one of the best balls I've seen in the modern era when he has a clean pocket. But look at people second-guessing him if he has an off game.
Yeah, well, I think people, there is an entire second-guessing Jared Goff industry out there, right? Because, well, he shouldn't have been the first pick. Well, then, look, he's awful with Jeff Fisher as a head coach. Well, now he's great again, but he's only great because Sean McVay's talking in his helmet. Can we just put that one the rest here? Sean McVay has the same coach-to-quarterback communication facilities as the other 31 teams. So, if Sean McVay is saying something so special that is elevating Jared Goff in his helmet, then the other 31 coaches are failing if they're not doing the same thing. Period. End of conversation. That said, he hasn't played well this year. Okay? Period. End of conversation there. Now, a lot of it, I think, has to do with the offensive line. Andrew Whitworth is showing his age. Rob Habenstein's not playing well. And all three interior positions have changed because of injuries or guys having to shift over to cover for other injuries. Last week, it worked. You put Bobby Evans at right tackle. You had David Edwards at right guard. Blythe at center. And Austin Corbett, who they got from the Browns, who was a bust there. Put him in at left guard. And with a young line, you don't tell them to go backwards. You tell them to go forward. You run the football. And they ran the ball 62% of the time last week. If they run the ball like that against the Ravens and do it successfully and control the clock, then maybe they have a game on Monday. But I agree with you, and Jared would agree with you, he has to play better regardless of whether or not the middle of that line is collapsing.
Andrew Siciliano, as we wrap it up from NFL Network. Andrew, I got Ezekiel Elliott's numbers in front of me. I think I'm one of the only guys on radio reminding people he wasn't in Oxnard. He was in Cabo, and he's got several games, not a few now, several games where he's rushing for around 50 yards. I mean, what is it? Are they game-planning him and taking him out, or the fact that he missed a lot of time and he's not the player? And he's going to be a great player, but I don't think he's Emmitt Smith. How do you fairly criticize Ezekiel Elliott for his numbers this year?
I think all of what you said, JT, is true. I mean, Melvin Gordon said it too. He said he's never holding out again. Now, he held out a lot longer than Zeke did. Cowboys have had their offensive line shuffling as well this year. I think the Cowboys really as a team, I think Ezekiel Elliott is just a microcosm of it. Like, what are they? They're the number one offense in football right now. I think they still are. Dak's throwing for 350, 400 a game. He's earning his keep, but they're not winning. They're beating bad teams, losing to good teams. The Lions game was closer than it should have been. The Eagles are doing them every favor in the world. The Cowboys are one of those teams I have no idea what you're going to get. They could get in the playoffs and beat anybody. They can lose to a 3-win team in December. Like, I don't know what they are.
Andrew Siciliano is an NFL Network host. You can follow him on Twitter at Andrew Siciliano. The NFL 100 All-Time Team Series premieres this Friday at 8 p.m. Eastern on NFL Network, revealing the running backs. I love this concept. A lot of people talk Mount Rushmore. They talk about all-time great teams. The way NFL Network puts this together and breaks down the categories, what can you tell us behind the scenes, the analysts they're bringing in, the legends, and how they're going to present this?
So it's the coolest thing about it, and Rich has been tweeting about this since they taped it a couple of months ago. It's just the fact that Belichick sat down and did this, and by all accounts, he was absolutely amazing. Like, there's probably stuff on the cutting room floor just because they went on and on and on and on. But, GT, I don't know how they make the list because, like, we put up the list of 24, quote-unquote, finalists at running back today. So there's 100 spots, 12 of the 100 are running backs. And we put up the 24. Like, how do you pare down this list, which is primarily Hall of Famers? Like, Adrian Peterson isn't in yet, but he was on the list. He'll get in eventually. Like, how do you say that these 12 are better than those 12? You can't. Like, Emmitt Smith better than Earl Campbell, better than Jim Brown, better than Marshall. Like, if you're in the top 10 in rushing, shouldn't you be in the top 100 players of all time? There is going to be so much debate. And to ask you, who did it? They have a bunch of former coaches, a bunch of former executives. I don't know the exact list, but they, they've been planning this for a while. It is a really good list, and they had an impossible job.
Yeah, and it's good for fans, though, to debate it, right, Andrew?
Sure, of course.
For radio and what we do, and you look at that, and there is a difference between Jim Brown and Terrell Davis, and there is a difference between Gale Sayers, who didn't play that long, compared to a guy who had a much longer career like Barry Sanders. But when you put these shows and lists together, you got to cap it out, and that opens up the debate.
Sure, like Frank Gore, Frank Gore is probably this week going to pass Barry Sanders and move into third on the all-time list. Well, people will say, well, Frank Gore is not a Hall of Famer. Okay, fine. I mean, that's a whole other debate. But the only two people with more rushing yards are Emmitt Smith and Jim Brown. So, I mean, like, go ahead. We could argue for the next 100 years over this.
Great to talk to you, my friend. You're doing an unbelievable job. I love what you do on Thursday night ahead of these games. Just quickly on the way out, it's a great presentation. You get to go to these stadiums. You get to preview the game. And then when it's on Fox and NFL Network, the games have been great this year.
Yeah, JT, thanks for the plug, and I can't say this enough. It was great having you there last week or two. I've lost track of weeks and days, but in Oakland, when you were kind enough to come to the stadium early for that really good game between the Raiders and the Chargers, it's fun, man. Like, we at NFL Network want to get all eyes on the game all day long, so we put as many shows as we can in Houston or in whatever stadium we're in. This week it's Houston for the Colts and the Texans. We're on at 3 o'clock Eastern time, and then Fantasy and the game day kickoff and then the game, and this week it's quite simply for the top of the AFC South. And so they already faced once. Colts won that one. Winner takes the division pretty much with 5 weeks to go.
Continued success. Thanks, my friend.
Likewise.
All right. Andrew Siciliano, nice to catch him. A busy guy, a longtime friend. He's doing a great job on NFL Network, and what a job that he does on Red Zone, right? If you watch Red Zone, you know. Random calls. Deontay Wilder versus Luis Ortiz, Premier Boxing Champions, MGM Grand, this Saturday, November 23rd. Pair of tickets right now, 876-1340. You know, it pains me to do this, Bobby, to give away for nothing just by calling in randomly, but I got tickets I got to give away, and the fight Saturday, 876-1340. We'll take the 23rd call because the 23rd of November is my birthday. The night of the fight, yes. Everyone forgets my birthday. So it'll be on the weekend, and I won't have a radio show, but it's coming up, and I'm going to go to the fight. I'm excited, and hopefully you can win these tickets. 876-1340 for the heavyweight. Big fight. Wilder better not lose. I think he'll win. He's got a bigger fight after this.